We have State Senator Mike Groney joining us for our weekly legislative update. Good morning, Senator Groney, and happy Holy Week to you, sir.
Yes, I am lost out on this. My best season of the year, Lent and Easter, being down here the last 6 years. But anyway, start to recap. We got our LB 40 through last year unanimously. It could be big for North Platte if they find somebody who wants to come, needs a rail siding, a larger company. There's no tie-in with the beef packing plant because they're on the east part of town by the treatment plant. But looking at manufacturing distribution, and it could be as much as $30 million of state assistance if they find a big enough project. And it could be more than one project, so I don't believe we've ever had that kind of a state buy-in in anything I've been around in North Platte before, but it could be a game changer, good paying blue collar job. So it's up to the locals now to find something, but I've done my part the best I could. So, of course it isn't completely done, but it should sail through, and they have 10 years to accomplish their feat to get the $30 million. If they come up with the matching funds locally in business would be about, if I remember right, about $7 million at the most. So a total project would be $4 million. But so that's on its way. I got the voice analyzer for the county sheriff's police departments out of committee on a 5-3 vote out of government. But it's on general file. It probably won't be heard this year, maybe next year. And other issues, I'm fighting a good fight against that LB 88, the freedom of the press. I'm trying to protect the constitutional right of freedom of press. There are those who want to treat speech, which there's a completely, totally two different rights. And we're supposed to be teaching young people in our schools boundaries and the difference between free speech and the responsibility of the press when you're trying to influence others. And there are those who don't want that. Those lines are drawn. They just want to be able to do whatever they feel like doing and twist. Well, we know what we have in the press now. It's bad enough the way it's twisted and the facts are given depending on who's giving the facts and who's writing the story. But isn't what it used to be, and maybe we can get back there where we have a professional. Well, we have them locally, you know. I'm not saying everybody's, but there's enough of it out there, false media, that we don't need to be teaching kids 15 and 16 how to go down that path. Anyway, so LB 88, we're trying to, there's a group of us trying to fight it when it comes back and kill it, which was the student newspaper bill. And then the discipline bill came up last year in a new form of it with a new education committee, and it's a disaster. It's all mental health. I don't know how we ever got this far down the road, but from our constitutional right of a free instruction in our common schools to government employees watching kids to see if they have mental health issues and then diagnosing it and sending kids to professional mental health experts without even talking to the parents, but that's what's in that bill. I don't know how we got there. It's scary, but just teach them to read and write. And if the kid has a problem, talks to their parents, and it's not your duty, public employee, teacher, or administrator, to worry about what type of parent they are. It's none of your damn business. Just do what you're supposed to do, and this push for mental health. I mean, they've done it before. They did it with the Ritalin back in the 90s, trying to be professionals and telling parents to get their kids on Ritalin because they were active. And that turned into a disaster. Now we have a whole generation addicted to depressant drugs. All ties together. The opiate crisis, and when they train them to start taking drugs when they're in school, in grade school. And look what we got now. But anyway, No, we're fighting that. We're trying to put the discipline part back in there. And I don't. It's hard to debate people who won't listen. Senator McKinney, who took Senator Chambers' position, is talking about slamming kids on the floor. Duh, that's what we're trying to stop. We're trying to train teachers to know how to physically intervene without losing their temper. But he's twisting it around and some other ones that were legalizing that. No, we're not. We're trying to get classrooms boundaries set again for students, allowing teachers to do that, control their classroom. So it'll be a struggle, but we're going to try it. And 30 votes last year, 32 last year, but two of those people aren't here. They were term limited out. But 30 of those folks who remember the debate last year are still here. But we're on the other side of the fence. We can kill it with 16 or 17 votes like they did to us last year, and they know that. So, but what comes around goes around, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, that's some of the big issues. I get a lot of calls and talk about constitutional carry and protecting our ability to... folks, let me tell you where I'm at. That's fine and dandy. I want to protect that. But if you have no rights left, why do you need the Second Amendment? If you don't protect the free speech, if you don't protect parental rights, who gives a damn if you got a gun?
I do.
I mean, what are you going to do with it if you've got nothing to protect anymore?
I'll get my protection back.
Well, let's not lose it in the first place, Rick.
I understand that, but I...
not lose it in the first place.
The Second Amendment is there to protect the First.
And I'm trying to protect the First so the Second Amendment doesn't have to be used. So we need support to look at other bills like LB 88, like this... mental health bill in our schools, so we never have to use the Second Amendment. We can use it for the Second Amendment to go hunting and target shooting. That's what I want. Anyway, don't get me wrong. I'm going to support that all the way, but I would sure love to have some of my rights left to protect, but to keep chipping away at them. Anyway, I don't know when that bill is going to come up, and when it comes up, it'll be a big fight. Of course, the same people want to put psychologists in your class in the school so they can tell them that they have an invisible friend, Jesus, they're mentally ill, or if they think they need a gun to protect themselves, or even worse. So, but anyway, that's where we're at.
Very well.
Is anything going on back there?
Yeah, Senator Groney, I've had a few people bring up, trying to see here, LB 408, Senator Breezy's bill, and a priority from Senator Geist, a bill that would reduce the property tax levy lid to a maximum of 2%. Are you familiar with this measure at all, Senator Groney?
I thought it was 3%.
Is it 3%?
And it's not a lid on the levy, it's on how much they, which is better yet, it's on how much they can, revenue they can bring in.
Okay.
So levies is meaningless. We've seen that. Levies haven't gone up. Or they've actually gone down over the last 20 years, but valuations have gone up so high that what they tax you is a lot more. It's on how much you're taxed. So if they got $1 million of revenue last year, it can only go up, what is that, $30,000 the next year. And then without a vote of the people.
Okay.
So that's I'll support it, but it's going to be fought. The schools, of course, same people who administrators and stuff are the ones that will fight it. They're greedy. They think money transcends to nicer suits and nicer vacations for them. But I don't think it more money for public education has done anything for the classroom. But
not when you look at how the scores come out.
No, it's not good. Well, and they're going to take more time out of the classroom to teach them how to be transgender and everything else, and how it's the fad now to be something besides what you are, a heterosexual. They're going to teach that, so that's more time away from reading and writing and arithmetic. Anyway, but hopefully that gets beat back. A lot of people are testifying, I think, and sending in their opinion to the Department of Education about those sex standards, education standards. So, it's just very frustrating, the trend we're on. Nobody respects money anymore. It's just like it's a given. You got a right to it. And billions of dollars come being spent at the federal level, and a lot of $1.6 billion coming to Nebraska. That's a lot of money, folks, for a state of 1.9 million and close to 2 million people. But my idea would be to have been talking to other senators what to do with that money. The governor would have the biggest say, but we ought to build the expressway highway system, get it done, and build a prison with it. And one-time spending, so nobody gets in the habit of having extra money. It's hard to take it away once you've given money and hire people with one-time money from the Fed. Hopefully it's one-time money. If it's not one-time money, next time they better give us $3 billion because inflation's going to be so bad it'll probably buy the same amount as the 1.6 does now.
Good point.
Anyway, but that's a big issue that's coming up here down in Lincoln. And anything else back there?
A lot on sustainable beef. Have you had anybody reach out to you about that, Senator Groney? Get your thoughts?
Yeah, I support it. I mean, they've done it right. If it was the Brazilians who own the plants, like in Lexington, I believe, maybe it's Tyson or Cargill. But if it was one of the big corporations, I wouldn't be for it. They would push the limits, and you'd have three shifts or two shifts and 2,000 people, and they'd hire anybody. And the way these local people are doing it, it's who we are. You don't maybe might not like it, but it's who we are. We're mm-hmm. agriculture. We wear blue jeans to work. They're going to be good-paying jobs. It's in the right location next to the cesspool, as we used to call it, city sanitation. Nobody else would build there, so it's probably, if you're going to justify TIF, it probably fits. It's been in the city 60, 70 years, and nobody else would ever build there. So it's blighted and substandard because they got to backfill 5 feet of ground in it. But, I hear about the thing about crime and the schools. Well, let me tell you, folks, read the police blotter. If you're Caucasian, look who they are. Go to juvenile court and see who they are. They're not people of color. They're not people immigrants. They're your and my five-generation Caucasian people from Europe. Crime doesn't follow race or nationality. Ask the police department who they pick up for meth. Who they pick up for spousal abuse. It's not an Hispanic or a black person in North Platte. You give people a decent job, fit their skill level, give them benefits, and maybe they're not in the police lineup. Maybe their marriages hold together. But we need to do something in North Platte. Like I said, if it was the Brazilians coming in, because I know their record, who own four major packers, I would be out there with everybody else on the picket line saying no. But if we're going to do it, the situation fits. It'll help. It'll be value added and help with the basis for the corn farmer, for the cattleman, and that money will stay local. So I have nothing against it. There's no guarantees that they won't, after a year or two, say we can't make enough money, and they go to two shifts and then start hiring people on the edge, or they sell it to a major packer. But I doubt that. I don't think a major packer would be, for efficiency reasons, they would be one that small of a operation.
Mm-hmm.
They've done their homework, and they know the numbers are there, and the margins that are now being taken on the cattle by the major packers can pay for and build this operation. But I like beef. I mean, I like to burn diesel fuel. That's why I'm for a pipeline, too, going across the Sand Hills. So it's cause and effect to everything. So
And I think it was last week, Senator Groney, you brought up that sustainable beef and this industry coming to North Platte gives folks a second chance in some ways. Maybe folks that didn't pay attention or put the investment into their education, this gives them an opportunity to earn more than an adequate wage with very good benefits.
Yes, if you don't like welfare, not everybody can go off to college. A lot of people it's a skill to use their hands.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't have a good high school education. And they maybe got in trouble in the law. But now they got a second. A lot of folks, if you got in trouble with law, you just can't get a job. But for this job, you could if you can pass a drug test and to keep your nose clean. It gives a second chance. And it's they're talking $50,000 a year annual pay. That's higher than what the other packers are paying. So if we get any immigrants or people moving to town, that's what they said. It's probably somebody that's been on the second shift or third shift at Lexington or Schuyler or Fort Morgan. And they're good family people. And
they want to work that 8 to 5. That's a higher quality of life.
They want to get back. They want to have Sundays off and go to church. They want to move up and better pay. And their children have already been in the educational system in Lexington or Fort Morgan. Those are the folks in America in a free enterprise system. If you pay better, those are the people you get to choose from then. So I can't be against it. I just can't. I mean, this town used to have a horse slaughter plant. I guess it was had a lot of people employed at one time too. So, and we're not baggers yet, but darn soon we could become baggers in North Platte with the declining population. That's why I decided in the last 2 years to work on the LB40s, I know some of these people in the sport people who are behind this packing plant. They're good, decent people. So. They're not going to destroy North Platte for greed. They live here.
Mm-hmm.
Huge difference than a Brazilian or some corporate guy in Illinois from Cargill or Tyson in Arkansas. Big difference.
Yeah, these are Nebraskans.
Yes. I guess I can't find a flaw in it. I mean, I really can't. Like I said, with the location they build it, if there's any smells, which there really isn't any, my mother's side of my family came from Schuyler, so I watched the process of that plant there, and it used to stink. It used to stink when I was young, and it doesn't smell at all. And even if it would have an accident, some smell, it's on the east side of town, so the northwest winds and the southwest winds will take it east and not over the city. So, and it's got good location with Newberry there and access to both highways 30 and the interstate. And maybe they can use the rail yard for some cold storage, but if we ever get it built. So,
sure.
You got to have something besides. It's what I told another interviewer. I said, what made me start focusing on this? I met with the State Chamber of Commerce president and a couple of his. And we were talking about economic growth in rural Nebraska, and he brought up microbreweries and tourism. And I, after that meeting, I go, these guys don't respect rural Nebraska. Microbreweries? Really? So the local hicks can sit around and drink beer, I guess. Why don't we just build stills out there? I mean, microbreweries are great, but they're not the job creators. They're not the ones that put the person in the stool drinking the beer. You got to have manufacturing. You got to think big. And they made it sound like big projects were only reserved for Omaha, Lincoln, or Sarpy County. Well, if we're going to survive, we need diversified industry. We need industries that hire more than 50 people so that those people go buy insurance from insurance agents. So you go out to the restaurants and eat. Go buy cars from the car dealer. You've got to have that core manufacturing or core industries to grow a community. It's real big, but I want to maintain.
Sure.
In North Platte. So if I wanted to get big, I'd live in this town of Lincoln or Omaha. I don't want to do that. I want to know most of the faces I meet on the street.
You do that enough, don't you?
Yeah, and then I want to know when to walk across the street when I see them coming. But anyway, that was a joke. But anyway, it's good. It's good. I went to St. Pat's. Barb and I did last couple Fridays fish fry. And recognized most of the faces in there.
Good.
That's the size of a town that I want to live in. But still have the conveniences of what I want. So, and that's what you're blessed when you're in a town that size.
Yep.
So, but we need to maintain. We need to give the young people and the next family coming down the road a good living.
Give them a fighting chance.
Yep.
Senator Groney, is there anything else you wanted to add today, sir?
No, just keep fighting a good fight.
Very well.
All right. Talk to you next Monday.
Yep. Take care. Happy Easter to you, sir.
Yes. Bye.